Boy, you want to beware of any sin of partiality, man. How serious is this? God says to a Christian, if you do that, your thinking is evil and your heart is filled with wickedness or evil motives.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in for our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Today, in the Epistle of James, we'll learn the importance of not showing partiality based on someone's appearance and to love others as we love ourselves. Now, Pastor, with today's message, beware of this sad sin.
Amen. You know, the book of James is a tremendous study if you can really stay with him. Amen. He's hard-hitting. I mean, the rubber meets the road with James. He's loving, but he's also speaking the truth in love. Amen. So every chapter, five chapters, 108 verses, 50 whatever commands, each of them say to the believer, then the Jewish believers of that day, and we, the Christians of this day, it speaks to us and says, you have to grow up. And so we can look at all five chapters and we can give ourselves a spiritual test, if you will. Are we really maturing? Are we going from glory to glory? Are we obeying what it says in these scriptures? In other words, do we just have the talk or do we have the walk? Amen. So with all that being said, these 13 verses, it's just amazing the timing, because we live in a time right now, would you say, when anti-Semitism is just raging across our nation and the world? Are people upset with Israel? Are they hating the Jew? That's where we are right this very moment. But then look at our own nation just for a moment. And you know, America is filled with hate groups. Wouldn't you hate to be labeled as a hate group? Meaning, I hate a certain color, I hate people, I hate this, I hate that. I mean, what kind of mindset would that be? It's certainly not God's, and it's certainly not a Christian, amen? So, you know, we have to be so careful, because today, I mean, racial discrimination, it doesn't matter if you are Jewish, if you're Asian, it doesn't matter if you are black, white, brown, it doesn't matter if you are Christian, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. There is discrimination today, amen? There's prejudice today. I mean, there's fear everywhere. Listen, now we're talking about, of course, showing partiality. The title of the sermon this morning is to beware of this sad sin, and it is a sad, sad sin. Loved one, listen to me. You know, there is one place on earth where discrimination or showing partiality should never be found, and that is in the body of Christ, amen? It's in the church, but unfortunately, it is rampant in the church today, many churches. And listen, we have to beware of this sin because it's so common in the church that it no longer bothers some of the believers' consciences. It's a sad thing. Do you understand? We're talking about now, talking about showing this kind of partiality that is not godly, beginning in James chapter 2, verse 1. James starts out and he's tender. He says, my brethren, he's speaking to believers then and believers today. My family, he says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should read, do not hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with what? With partiality. That's a powerful word, that the way he starts out. He is tender and he's loving, and he corrects them by giving them a command. Do not hold is a present tense imperative, which literally means this command. He's telling them, stop practicing partiality right this minute. Stop it completely. Stop showing this favoritism that you're doing. If you went down to verse 9, you would find out that what they were doing is called sin, okay? He says, the Lord of glory. What a word for our Savior, amen? Remember, the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? Glory. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus, our Lord, he is the express image of the exact nature of God, the perfect representation of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He's the Lord of glory. But listen to me now. Here's what he's saying. Don't you dare claim to have faith in Jesus Christ and then practice partiality, because you cannot, as a believer, combine favoritism with faith. It doesn't work that way. You're going against the Lord. You remember when Peter, was he a Jew? Thank you. Peter, remember what he did? He was fasting that day, and all of a sudden, as he was fasting, you know, a sheet came down with all manner of unclean animals and so forth, and the voice of the Holy Spirit said, rise up and eat, Peter. He said, oh, no, man, I've never touched any of those. I don't eat cockroaches and shrimp and catfish. I don't do any of those things, Lord. I've never put anything unclean in my mouth. And it says, God said, well, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. I call clean, because God has cleaned them. Amen? So anyway, to make a long story short, down the street, in another city, was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion. He was a Gentile. So they send for Peter. Peter goes to the house. You know the story. Peter starts explaining to them, preaching to them, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. They start speaking in other tongues, and boy, Peter is just blown away, and he says this in Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Do you believe that scripture? Yes. Listen to me now. God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. Do you understand that? He loves everybody equally. He loves everybody unconditionally. It doesn't matter if you are black, if you're brown, if you're pink, if you're blue, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you don't have a penny, or if you have $1 million. God loves everyone equally. For God so what? Loved the world, John 3:16. He sent his only begotten son, loved one. Listen, the world is filled with horrible, wicked partiality and discrimination. But let it not be said in the church. In other words, our Father shows no favoritism. And since he does, don't you think his family, the church, the children of God, shouldn't they do the same thing, show no partiality? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, It says, therefore, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Imitators. Now, how do you imitate God? I mean, has anybody here tried it lately? Let there be light. And light was? No. No, what does he mean? Well, he means this. You can be an imitator of God. How? How can you imitate the Lord? Well, listen, if you are a believer, it says that you have received the divine nature of God. Amen? And not only that, he's given unto you everything that pertains to life and unto godliness. And then he gives us the example of how we are to walk in love. It says, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. So if you are a Christian, listening live, listening here in the chapel, listening very carefully, our manner, our lifestyle, if you're a Christian, has been narrowed down to one example and one person, and that is Jesus Christ. We are to love as he loved. We are to forgive as he forgives. We're to see other people as he sees them. Amen? And we're to walk in that kind of love. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, the Christian who says, oh, I abide in him, must also walk even as he walked. So when you have a right view of Jesus and understand how Jesus sees others, then you will have a right view of others just like our Lord. You remember in the Gospels there, in Luke's Gospel, I think it's chapter 7, verse 34, when Jesus came in and all of a sudden the Pharisees and the religious rulers, they got all upset at him and said, oh, look, here he is, the Son of Man, you say, comes eating and drinking. He's a wine bibber, he's a drunkard, and he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, that's a good thing. Aren't you glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners? But they couldn't handle it. See, they started criticizing that. Remember Zacchaeus? I think it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 and following. I'm probably wrong, but it's close. Remember what happened? He said Jesus was coming, and Zacchaeus, was he rich? He was a chief tax collector, man. He was like the mafia mob. You know what I'm trying to say? He was rich, filthy rich. Why? He worked for the government, Rome. He ripped people off, kind of like, well, anyway. You understand what I'm getting at? And so Jesus is walking by, and remember, Zacchaeus is just a wee little man. He's short. And so what does he do? He climbs up in that sycamine tree, and he's looking at Jesus, and Jesus stops and looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree, man." He said, "I'm going to come home with you today. I mean, don't you wish I could just look? I'm coming home with you today. You know, what do you have for lunch? Thank you." Yeah. And so he's coming down and he says, "Oh, Lord, listen, I'll give half of whatever I have," really what I've robbed. "I'll give half of it back. I'll give it to whoever it is, Lord. And if I've done this, ripped anybody off, I'll give fourfold." Jesus said, "Man, I think salvation has come to your house today." And then you know what the people did, though? When he did that, then they made a judgment. They showed partiality. And the people around him and the priests and so forth, they said, "Look, this man eats and goes to the house of sinners." And then Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Amen. Oh, the sin of showing partiality, loved one. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, here she was, she'd been married 5 times and was divorced 5 times, and now she was living with an old boy. And the disciples were with Jesus, but they went to get food or whatnot. They wouldn't go into Samaria. Jesus did, because, see, Samaritans were considered defiled, unclean. Just to stand in their presence rendered a Jew unclean. As a matter of fact, even to accept help from a Samaritan, it would be better that you died and suffered than do so. Now, with all that being said, the woman at the well, when Jesus asked for water, listen to what she said. "And then the woman of Samaria said to him," it said to Jesus, "how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." I don't like you, and you, a Jew, you don't like me. Boy, there was something there, but Jesus loves everyone, amen? And that's when Jesus said, "Well, listen, why don't you go call your husband?" "Well, I don't have a husband." Then he said, "Well, you're right. You've had 5 of them. Didn't work out very well, did it? Now you're down there living with an old boy." She said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." And he is. But the thing that is that, did Jesus beat her up? Did he say, "Look at you, your life. You've been married 5 times. Now divorced 5 times, and you're shacking up with this old boy right now"? That's not in the scripture, though. Don't go try to find that. It's not there. So I don't want you to do that. Do you understand me? He loved her. And you know what that woman did? She went into the village. She left her water pot, left it down, and she went into the village, and she shouted. She said, "Come see a man. Come see a real man who told me everything about myself, but he didn't hurt me like all those other men." Do you understand? You see, Jesus looked at her heart. Jesus knows all those things. You know, listen, you know what I love about Calvary? You know, or before this church, when Rebecca and I knew that we were going to plant this church from our home into a building, you know, we talked about, we want this church to have every kind of person, every color of person. We want it to be that kind of a church. And God has answered that prayer for us, you know, because if you just think of how many different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, we have, different languages, and I mean, different colors. I mean, did you know that we, Calvary Chapel, we are a picture of the multicultural church that exists in heaven? Yeah, did you know that? Heaven's not segregated. There's not, this is black heaven. This is white heaven. This is brown heaven. Way over there's Democratic heaven. No, I'm joking. No, it's not segregated. Listen, here it is. Do you want to see what we're like right now? It says about the church in heaven, Revelation 5:9, and it says, "Oh, for you were slain and you've redeemed us by God, by your blood, out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation." That's who we are right now. Amen. Can I just give you the different nationalities that go to this church here? That's our family. Let me read them to you. It says here, we have Russians, we have Koreans, we have French, we have Chinese, Vietnamese, Thailand, Mexican. We have those from Chile. Is it Chile or Chile? How long has it been since you had a good, what was it? What is it? Hot steaming bowl of Wolf brand chili. Never mind. Australia, England, South Africa, India, and I know I left off some. We have white, we have black, we have brown, but we don't have anybody from Dallas, praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm joking. See, we're multicultural, and that's the way it should be, amen? if you've ever read Gandhi's autobiography about him, he decided, he said, you know what? I'm going to go to a Sunday service in a Christian church. He says, I want to find out and talk to them, the minister, about how to become a Christian. I'm reading from it. And so he entered the sanctuary. However, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested, well, you better go worship with your own people. Gandhi left the church, never returned. This is what he said. If Christians have caste differences also, like the Indians did, he said, like the caste difference also, he said, I might as well remain a Hindu. And he did. And that one person, that one Christian who is supposed to be sealed with the Spirit and speaking the truth in love and wants to see everybody saved, he said, oh, no, you don't belong in our service. You see, you're just not one of us. You just don't really fit in. And you know what? He could have had that man saved, but he did not. You know what Job says? Job says in Job 13:10, God will surely rebuke you if you secretly show partiality. No one knows it, but God knows it. So what's going to happen now in verse 2? James is giving what some say is a hypothetical illustration. I don't think it really is. The reason I say that, because verses 6 and 7 says that this church, the churches that he wrote to, were actually practicing the sin of showing partiality. So what happens here, in verse 2, we have these two nameless visitors. They come to church, okay? James says, well, for if there should come into your assembly, your congregation, that word literally is synagogue. And the reason in the Greek it's synagogue is because primarily when James was written, since it's the first book of the New Testament, Christianity was basically Jewish, amen? So he says, when someone comes into your church, your assembly, your congregation, a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. So you have two people. First, you have a rich visitor. Now, this rich visitor, he loves jewelry, okay? He's really into rings. He's especially into gold rings, if you will. Did you notice that rings is plural? And so literally in the Greek, it would be gold fingers. He was a Jewish James Bond. You got it? And so gold fingers. And so he had rings, not just on each finger. Some of these Calvary Chapel pastors do that. I'm not being critical either. I was going to do that today, but just for an illustration. But I said, I ain't doing that, man. You know, but it means not just one ring here. It means this solid rings all the way up. It was a sign of being filthy, filthy rich, if you will. So this rich visitor, golden rings, and then he's a smart dresser. He has that fine apparel. The word there, fine, literally means shiny garments. So this guy is the glowing man, if you will. He's just lighting up. He comes in, and you don't need lights or anything. He's on fire, if you will. He's like a Calvary Chapel dresser, right? So the poor visitor comes in, and he's poor. That word poor means destitute. So he's penniless. His clothes are dirty, they're shabby, they're torn, he smells, and he walks into the church, and he's been over at the car wash going through all the garbage cans, trying to find his breakfast. He finally finds something, he walks all over here and says, well, the church is open, and you know what, I need to be warm. He comes in. Then he says in verse 3, and look what happens. James says, and you, meaning a Christian, and you pay attention. You pay a special attention, if you will, special respect. Pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. In other words, the best place, the best seat in the house. This rich man, here, they just bring him down and they say, now, you know what, our pews are a little hard. Would you like a cushion? Let me give you a cushion. I had a pastor, well-known pastor, call me years ago. He says, my family and I are coming to your church today. I said, yes, sir. Thank you. There's 10 of us. We're running late. I want the front row of the church reserved for us. I said, really? I'll talk to you when you get here. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Marshall. Do you think I reserved the front row of the church? But I did the last row. You know, you see that kind of attitude? No, listen, that's what was happening right here. Boy, they ushered him up and so forth. And they said to the poor man, now, oh yeah, you stand over there. You sit here at my footstool. In other words, this is the worst place. Matter of fact, if you just sit down at my feet, nobody's going to see you. And that way it's not going to just, you know, whatever. So they were guilty of creating distinctions in their church. He says, so have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with what? That's a very important word, Christian. With evil thoughts, evil motives. Boy, you want to beware of any sin of partiality, man. How serious is this? God says to a Christian, if you do that, your thinking is evil and your heart is filled with wickedness or evil motives. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it a sin to come to church wearing gold rings? Is it a sin to be rich? Is it a sin to be poor? Is it a sin to really be a sharp, sharp dresser? Okay, now, is it a sin then to come to church dressed in torn Levi's, flip-flops, tats all over your body, cowboy hats? No, but it should be, but no, I'm just joking. No, it's not. Listen, what is the only sin in our text? There's only one. It is the sin of showing partiality, favoritism. And here's the problem is the motive, because God said, oh, your thoughts, you're a judge, you're an evil judge, and you have evil motives in your heart. In other words, they were looking at this rich man that they seated on the front row, got the cushion for, and they said, I wonder what he can do for this church. Is that a wicked motive? Oh, my gosh. Is that showing partiality? I remember a pastor a long time ago, loved him dearly, and this man and woman, very, very wealthy, very, very wealthy, and he said, we want to pay off the church. He came to me for counseling, and I said, don't take that money. Please don't take that money. Don't take their money. He said, but it'll pay off the church. I said, please don't take their money. He says, and why is that? I said, because the moment they give you that check, they're going to take over the control of this church, and you, not you. You're going to become a hireling. Did he take the money? Yes. Did they take control? Yes, it's an evil motive. Listen to me, it is a sad day. We never want to see this wicked. It's a sad day when the church, you know, when the church says, what can I obtain from you instead of what can I impart to you? Amen? We feed the sheep, we don't fleece the sheep. Man, so what do we do here? Jesus, listen to what he says. John 7:24. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, with your look. Don't look and judge according to that, but judge with a righteous judgment. Now listen, we are not the world and we do not judge like the world judges. They look and then they judge. But the problem is, no one knows the fact about a person or the circumstances of a person except God himself. Amen? God knows all of the facts. But see, we're guilty, all of us, of training ourselves, if you will, in our thinking to judge by sight. But it may be a very wrong impression, and we can be really, really wrong in the way we judge it. Let me give you a perfect example. Whenever Jesus was there in Mark's gospel, chapter 12, and they kind of leaning against the treasury wall, and the disciples were with him, and it says that all these rich people were coming by, and they were giving so much money, blowing the disciples away. They were just going, wow, and so forth. And then this little widow, this poor woman, I mean, she didn't have a dime. She just had a little eighth of a penny, if you will, an eighth. She came in and dropped that into it was actually a trumpet or a horn there at the temple, and dropped it in. And Jesus went and got his disciples and said, man, I'm paraphrasing, okay? He said, man, did you see that? And he said, listen, those rich people, they gave out of their abundance, but this poor widow gave all, who was living in poverty, gave all her livelihood. In other words, she can't even buy a lunch now. She has no money for dinner. She has nothing left. Boy, did you see who gave the most? That poor widow. Loved one, listen to me. Here's what we have to really understand. I know God sees the outside. He sees the external. But loved one, listen, he doesn't really look at the external. Do you think that God cares? I mean, he cares, but does it bother God that maybe your jeans are all dirty? You know what I'm saying? Or maybe that you worked all day and you didn't take a bath. You don't have any money. Your penny is, does that bother God? He goes, oh, I can't. I don't want that person praying to me. Does he do that? No, the externals don't matter. Loved one, listen to me. God sees the heart. He judges the heart.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you so much for listening to Love Never Fails today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.